I venture this afternoon to direct your attention to Psalm number 34. And we read the text, verse 19. Psalm 34 and reading verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The ground on which the psalmist wrote this psalm was in his affliction. And it was, as we read in the heading, when he changed his behaviour before Elimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. You know, in that portion in Samuel, that he changed his behaviour, he feigned madness, and he fled to the cave of Adullam. The Lord overruled that when he came a captain to them. And all those people that have various cases, and the Lord's people do have various cases, they were in that cave together. And the Lord overruled it, became captain of them all. He'd made by the grace of God to be a strength to them. Who would have thought that as he fled from Saul, that he would come to this cave of Adullam, and with him all those different characters, those in need, those poor, those who had hard cases, they were indeed afflicted. But he became captain over them all. He was able to enter into their need. Well, we want to look upon above, far above David, the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, who himself was despised and afflicted. We tried, I think, to mention in prayer from that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He is despised and we esteemed him not. He was afflicted. He became poor that we through his poverty might become rich. So David then was used of God to be a comfort to those in that cave. And the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, the Lord uses his afflictions, friends. We must always remember this, that it is to his glory. If we are living right before God, we are seeking to live to his glory. For not unto us, not unto us, but to thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. We need to search our heart, every one of us, as to whether we seek a life to live to his glory. Whatever the Lord may call you to do, it is for his glory, it is for his service. And so the Lord overruled this affliction of David. And he overrules the afflictions of his people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them out of them all. We said this morning the great need for sanctification. I often quote Mr. Frank Gosden, but he came into one great trial and he said this, Lord, let it do me good. And that should be the reason, friend. Let it do me good. Let it be for thy glory. Oh, my friends, we need to analyze these things in our souls. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. We would be clear, dear friends, that as you go around in hospitals and you may see poor young people going, being pushed in wheelchairs by their carers, and you think how thankful you would be that you have comparatively healthy body. Oh, the afflictions. And why? Because of the fallen man. But these are afflictions of the righteous. And there are peculiar afflictions that we may try and mention. Of course, there is the affliction of sin. I heard a minister preaching from this word very ably. He spoke most of all on the affliction of sin. Now, it may be that the afflictions that the Lord lays upon his people is a means of grace to bring them to know their sinnership before God, to cause them to feel their weakness, to feel their complete dependence upon the Lord. But the Lord knoweth their frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. And I think we mentioned in prayer that word, I may not have quoted correct, but in the first Corinthians chapter 10, there's no temptation taking you but which is common to man. God is faithful that he will not allow you, as it were, to be tempted above measure, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, oh, how tender are the mercies of God to his dear people. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we're dust. But see, he will make a way out of the way of temptation. I hope to find, to get it correctly quoted, dear friends, because so often one cannot exactly quote. And sometimes, sadly, we may miss out something that is very important in the Word of God. So that it is sometimes better for us to try and look to what the Word of God actually says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Oh, the kindness and love of a merciful God. But he was tempted above all things, yet without sin. He is able to succour them that are tempted. So these afflictions are to be used. They are to bring them to Christ. If you are able to trace out, some of you, I don't know, your path, and your desires to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that you are his. And perhaps you thought that, as the good hymn writer Newton says, you thought that in some favoured hour at once he would grant you your request. Instead of that, he has made you feel the hidden evils of your heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault your soul in every part. God delivereth them out of them all, but in his own way and time, and it is ultimately to his glory, but also for the good of his people. For we read, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. It's for good. But you may not see it now. Oh, that word to Peter, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I know the hereafter we feel ultimately of heaven, about hereafter in this time state. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Destroy it not, there shall be a blessing in it. Want to see what the blessing is, not to come out of it as you went into it. Like those three Hebrew men who were cast into the furnace for their faith. Well, how they came out of it. And even Nebuchadnezzar could see there was a fourth with them, and one like unto the Son of God. It seems to trace out, you see, God's teaching and teaching. And when they were when they were chastened, or when they were suffering for their faith. And dear friends, you know, if there's true faith, there must be some suffering. There must be some cost. But oh, to know the cost of your redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. What it cost him, no tongue can tell. To save our souls from death and hell. And so these Hebrew men, you see, was a fourth like unto the Son of God. So what a mercy if when you come out of this, when the Lord, well, helps you to come out of it perhaps, you see, you're not lifting up with pride, you lift up with thankfulness. And you should be humbled under it. We cannot give ourselves humility, friends. We cannot make ourselves humble. Oh no. It's only the Lord can humble us. He said, I will humble thee. When those Israelites went through that 40 years of, in the wilderness, we read in Deuteronomy, it was to humble them and to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or no. It's to know what's in their heart. It is to humble us. It's a sad thing. And you see, this is the world. I don't speak wrongly of the world, but you see, they may have their afflictions and they may go into hospital. They may recover, but you see, there's not the sanctification. Oh, my friends, how important these things are. But it's by divine teaching. The psalmist said, open there mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, how blind we are. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I want to come to something that we have thought of a little recently, at least we trust we have been led to think of it, the case of Job. Here was a righteous man, an upright man, none like Job, but oh how he was afflicted. Now many are the afflictions of the righteous. And this is one of the deep things which you never understand, that it was Satan's work, and the Lord permitted it. You see, dear friends, it may be even when a child is young, maybe at school or as they grow up, or younger than school, maybe something come into their life that afterwards, you see, Satan has done something. Satan has done damage. I don't want to speculate or speak about other things, but I understand it in the Soviet Union. They used to, not now, if they could have a child under 5 years of old, they would. You see, it was Satan's power. Oh, these are deep things, but they are for the glory of God. But they are amongst the afflictions of the righteous. And dear Job was a righteous man, a godly man. Oh, we know he had great substance. And none were afflicted like Job. Ye have heard of the afflictions of Job, or the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is very merciful, a tender mercy. Yes. He delivereth them out of them all. Of course, there will be the final deliverance. But here was a great deliverance to David, because he would have been killed under Saul's hand. And he fled. And he came into this cave. And you see, the Lord overruled him. So what a need there is of grace and understanding, dear friends. So it was then with Job and Satan. And we read what God said to Satan, and how Satan answered, that he went to and fro in the earth. And Satan is going to and fro in the earth today. And oh, how the Lord's people are tempted. Oh, how they are slain. As we read in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews, they were slain, they were sawn asunder, they were afflicted. But oh, the faith they had. And that's what is the highlighting of that wonderful chapter 11 to the Hebrews. It's faith. And here the Lord gives faith. And he strengthens faith. And faith is working. God is working. And friends, is ultimately to his glory. And to the salvation of the souls of the Lord's people. But what a painful path it was to Job. He was afflicted from head to toe with sore boil. Not only that, he lost his substance and his family. But he didn't lose his life, because you see, the Lord said to Satan, touch not his life. You can touch all that he has, but touch not his life. Spare his life. And you see, the Lord is, you see, the Lord overrules. The Lord is greater than Satan. But Job has delivered them out of them all. Oh, the trial of faith. And we read many things in the book of Job. I shan't stay here, I hope, but you know one thing he said in that 19th chapter of all his grievances. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I believe he had a sight of Christ by faith. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that's the answer to the deliverance, because of Christ's robe. Oh, that wonderful word that we have, that wonderful account of Lazarus, and how the Lord Jesus spake to dear Martha. We have that most wonderful a memorable word, often quoted at funerals, rightly or not, but you know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? And he was to raise Lazarus from the tomb, you say. Oh, what a sorrowing time it was for Mary and Martha at that time. The Jews came to comfort them. And maybe this word may be a word in season, I don't know, to you this afternoon. When Jesus came at last, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so often it is, dear friends, with the afflictions of God's people, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Oh, the mercy of God in Christ. The Lord overrules his afflictions, and it's for their good, and it is for his glory. And also, dear friend, let us not forget this, it is to humble our proud heart too. It is to keep us low in the dust. It is to keep us praying, and it is to enable us, and it will teach us to pray. But I go back perhaps to the beginning. I think I may have said, you see, where there is that desire to know the Lord, And you feel, well, I'm such a novice, Lord. Well, you've got to begin somewhere. And dear friends, the Lord people, they begin on the lowest rung of the ladder. And that's where we often have to go back down to the lowest rung of the ladder too. Before we can go up the ladder, as it were. I know, of course, there is the ladder of faith that Jacob saw. And, you know, it went up into heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And in this wonderful psalm, in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angels of the Lord, the ministering angels, sent to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. The Lord ministers to his dear people. Encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O taste and see. We mentioned this morning, I think, of those who come to the feast of the gospel. Now they have a taste. They have a palate spiritually. They have a flavour. And that flavour is discernment. And I feel the lacking of it myself, and one of the great lacking of the church today is the lacking of discernment. To discern, well, first of all, Paul wrote, did he not, into the Corinthians, of those who came to the Lord's table, they did not discern the Lord's body. And that's a great discernment, dear friends. But hold the lacking of discernment in the day in which we live. But it is that you start, as it were, with that desire to know the Lord. You want to know that you're his. You want to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet the Lord afflicts you. And instead of going up the ladder, so to speak, well, you seem to stay on the bottom rung. And you're in this affliction. He putteth his mouth in the dust, we read, if there may be hope. It's a mercy if we've been there, dear friends. He putteth their mouth in the dust, if so be, there may be hope. Old Mr. Sawyer used to say sometimes, that we should always have our mouth about an inch above the ground. What he meant, of course, we should be down low, as it were, humble. Though many are the afflictions of the righteous, the afflictions of Satan, or the power of Satan. But I want to come to Job very briefly. We come, and just one more word in the 23rd chapter. You know, he looked for the Lord on the right, on the left, before and behind, and he said, I cannot find him. And that is one of the great trials for those who are in affliction. They cannot find him. And I have to say with Job, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me, and God did give strength of faith to Job when he said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Lord knows the way you take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold tried in the fire now loses all the dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. It is for the good of their soul. It is to refine them. It is to refine them. To make us more like him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So there are bodily afflictions and mental afflictions. The last hymn that we had to choose was our Miss Steele. You know, dear Miss Steele had a great tragedy in her life. We understand that the man, the young man that she was hoping to marry, was taken away by death. She never married, but she was married to Christ. You see, there are disappointments in life sometimes. You may not get on in the world, or whatever it is. You may feel to be despised, even by the Lord's people. You know, it's a sad thing when people, Lord's people, despise others. An awful thing to have a Pharisaic spirit. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he knoweth the way that I take. Blessed be his holy name. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I said to you just now, friends, we cannot make ourselves humble. I remember going to Bexhill and seeing, going to the funeral of my one of my sons. I think he was a headmaster. And there was a man came in, and there was a vicar came in, and he went down on his knees, and he turned round and looked at everybody and said, well, I've done my duty. Well, that's how I looked at it anyway. See, there's a lot of outside show. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them out of it. Now, Job was delivered, wasn't he? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Poor Job was so taken up with his case, and you can understand it, when he suffered like he did, but he hadn't prayed for his friend. I've no doubt, perhaps they prayed for him, but he hadn't prayed for them. Oh, friends, the guilt upon our consciences, because of what we haven't done, as well as the things what we have done. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And then there is the affliction of temptation. Now, before I come to this, I want to just mention the affliction of Joseph. Before the Lord elevated him and gave him that great rule in Egypt, what he had to go through because of his dream. Cast into the pit where there was no water. But you see, the Lord overruled that he would not die in the pit. And he didn't, did he? His life was to be preserved, you see. As I said just now, what the Lord said to Satan, you can do what you like with him, but do not touch his life. And Joseph was to be spared because there was a purpose of God. And you know the history, don't you? Cast into prison, sold to the Midianites, cast into prison, falsely accused, and so on. What a trial it must have been for dear Joseph, who's a godly young man. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. And all the grace that was in Joseph when the brethren had to submit to him, when he finally revealed himself to them, I am Joseph. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for my good. And that is true, friends, of those who are afflicted. It is meant for your good. It is for the good of your never-dying soul. And it may be for your natural good too, your providential good. And it may also be that you have to be a witness to others of what the Lord has done, what the Lord is able to do. Then I say there are the terrible afflictions of temptations. Oh, the temptations of Satan. And it may almost drive you to despair. But you see, dear friends, the dear Lord Jesus was tempted above all things, yet without sin. He is able to succour them that are tempted. I just think of dear Mr. Wood, you know, in his very simple way, he used to say, go to Jesus. And nothing more simple than that, is there? I know we were on holiday in Wales and we went to a Calvinistic Methodist, and the preacher was very good. And I cannot quote the hymn, but they sung that hymn, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. He's made me glad. Well, you know, that hymn was a blessing to me, because later on in the week in our holiday, I'd had a very bad night, and I looked up about 5 o'clock, and I sort of sat up in my bed, and the Lord seemed to speak that to me. I came to Jesus as I was. Yes. He has done me good. You've got to go to him as you are, friends. The afflictions of temptation. Well, he was tempted, wasn't he? You see, this is sanctification. If you're, as the hymn says, let your eyes the Saviour view. Let your eyes the Saviour view. For he was tempted above all things. Yes. And he endured that temptation for his people. He was tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And afterwards he hungered, and afterwards the Spirit was upon him, and that was when he began his preaching ministry here below. It's all a pattern, it's all the path, the way the Lord works, and his people follow in that way, looking unto Jesus, looking unto the captain of their salvation, made perfect through suffering. Looking unto Jesus by faith. And who can give us faith? Well, my friends, we have to ask for faith, don't we? We cannot give ourselves faith, can we? For every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He gives faith. And if repentance or should faith should both deficient seem, Jesus gives both, the Scripture says. Then ask them both of him. Also, friends, we need repentance, don't we? Because when the Lord afflicts his people, whatever it is, he can show them their sin. He begins to reveal to them more of their sinnership. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, the terrible affliction of temptation. Your name is not written in the book of life. You may be almost, I'm going to say, it may come to this, that you have committed the unpardonable sin. That was what Bunyan was under, I think, was it 2 years? In that Pilgrim's Progress, I think it was, and he was in that dungeon. Yeah. Giant despair. To cause despair is the scope of Satan and his powers. Against hope, to believe in hope, my brethren, must be ours. I do love Mr. Gasby's hymn. He saves from death, destruction and despair. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. That's the hymn, isn't it? He saves from death, destruction and despair. Most well-known hymn, that is, of Mr. Gadsby. Many are the temptations of the righteous. If you're tempted, you're not one of his. Where does it bring you to? Does it bring you to despair? Go to Jesus. Look unto Jesus. and you go to him as a poor repenting sinner. And, you know, I know we may hear this word so often in our pulpits, but really you have to say this, Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And really, Lord, help me. I think it was Mr. Leonard Broom in his book, he said, briefest prayers sink deep. And you will find some of the shortest prayers in the Word of God, and you see their character. Lord, help me. The woman with her afflicted daughter. Lord, help me. And he answered her, not a word. That's painful. But she didn't give up, did she? No, she must come to Jesus. And almost he seemed to rebuff her by what we read. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. That's real worship, friends. When you worship at his footstool, Lord, help me. Three words. O Lord, I am oppressed. That is the word, the prayer of Hezekiah, or his testimony, wasn't it, afterwards? Remember, he had a testimony afterwards. And if you read that 38th chapter of Isaiah, beautiful chapter that is, when Jerusalem was surrounded with armies and Hezekiah was sick nigh unto death, he turned his face to the wall, he had the death sentence. What a temptation, what an affliction that is when one comes under the death sentence, under the law of God. Thou art the man. But oh, that good news of the gospel. To Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And he had his testimony. Friend, you'll have a testimony. I hope you'll have a testimony. You might keep it to yourself, but may there be a testimony. To speak of what the Lord has done. But in his testimony, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. The Lord did, didn't he? The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will you sing his songs to the stringed instruments all the days of my life. The Lord was ready to save me. He is ready, he is able, doubt no more. Therefore we will sing his songs on the string instruments all the days of my life. And then we have that final word. What a word that is. What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Oh, may that be a sign. He had a sign. The sign was, of course, that the sundial of Ahaz would go down. Was it 10 degrees? I know that was an outward sign and very remarkable. But my friends, you may be looking for a sign. When you come to the house of God, looking to Jesus, hoping for a sign, what a wonderful thing when there's something that drops down into your soul with some power, gives you life and hope. What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? To praise him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them out of them all. And of course, we read that chapter, did we not, in the 54th of Isaiah. And that speaks of the church. I just want to turn to it to remind us of what we read this afternoon. Now, here is the church set forth here. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. there that does not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stay. I know that may have a significance. I know on one occasion a certain chapel minister came, and with that word, and they were to enlarge the chapel, and they did. They enlarged that chapel, by double the size. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stake. For they shall break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not. See, we have another fear not, don't we? We said this morning, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. But it's a wonderful chapter. I can't go through it because I've already read it. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And for this is as the waters of our unto man. For as the water, I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke. For this is to me, says, as the waters of Noah. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon me. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. And then, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphire. And then we have this word at the end, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And I believe, friends, that's the work of the devil. Whatever weapon that is, it may be in your work, it may be whatever it is in your, wherever it is, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know, Isaiah is a wonderful prophecy, isn't it? It is, has been spoken of as the gospel according to Isaiah, and it follows, doesn't it? The 53rd chapter. It's connected to the 53rd chapter. Because he says in the 53rd chapter, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, speaking of Christ, prophetically. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? Looking unto Jesus, with his stripes we are healed. And I just close with another word that has been sweet to me at times. I think it came to me fairly recently. And that is in Exodus, after the great deliverance of God's ancient people through the Red Sea and out of Egyptian bondage, and then they sung, we have Moses' song of thanksgiving. And they come into the wilderness. They soon come into the wilderness of sin. And but when they came to Marah, that's it, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name it was called Marah. And the people said, murmured against Moses, what shall we drink? It was a bitter, they couldn't drink of these waters. They were so bitter. They would die, wouldn't they? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, now this was a word, wasn't it? And it's a word that we need. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon me, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And then, friends, there will be that final deliverance, when the Lord delivers his people out of all the afflictions of this life and takes them to glory. Amen.